Heavenly Father, we thank you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That the purpose for which he created us to have fellowship with him, and say, if you keep my commandments, ye are my friends. And, oh Lord God, I call you no longer any more servants, ye are my friends, as you keep my commandments. So we thank you, Lord, how we love you, Lord, because you first of all loved us. Thank you for giving Senior the Holy Spirit, who is the one that shared the love of God abroad in our heart. Not that any man loved God, but he first of all loved us. Father, we thank you. We can bask day by day under your love. No, Lord God, the banner of the Lord upon us is his love. Father, we thank you. We worship you. Thank you for being right here now, inhabiting our praises. How blessed are we, oh Lord God, in this age and even in the eternal ages to come. Father, we bless you and we worship you. Open your heart this morning as we share. We just commit all to your hand that you will refresh us, Lord. Know by that Spirit, Lord. Father, and thy word. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. From time immemorial, God's people find themselves one way or the other in a situation where they think there is no way out. Right from time immemorial and to this very day, once in a while God will permit it and so forth. But we thank God when we feel like that, or we are in that situation, we have his promise. So this morning, the Lord will make a way. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 43 verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just when you think there is no way and so forth, the eternal God, the everlasting Father, your Father, my Father. See, I go to my Father and your Father. When he resurrected from the dead and so on, is our heavenly Father. Say, we make a way. Genesis 15, I say from time immemorial. Genesis 15, verse 13. And he, meaning God, has said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with a great substance. It's a pattern that God has said. Bible talks about the blessing of Abraham, right? In Galatians 3:13, coming unto us by the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? We are going through some trials and so forth. And, it's a pattern here that God said, God won't just let you be afflicted for nothing. So you come out with a great substance. Let's go through this promise that God gave to Abraham. We jump here and there from one part of the Bible to another. We continue the story in Acts 7. We talk about Acts 7. A certain story of the calling of the children of Israel, right, that Brother Stephen gave, an orator, Holy Ghost orator, I call him, He just recanted to those, to those Grecians, the Grecians who were trying to debate with him, by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and so on and that. Anyway, he pick up, he begin to tell there concerning Abraham, verse 17. I pick up from where we are in Genesis and so forth. But when the time of the promise drew near, what promise? The one he gave in Genesis 13, I mean 15, right? That's 400 years and so on. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God has sworn to Abraham, the one I read to you in Genesis 15, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. We have skipped what happened, in between, just to come in continuation of the story and so forth, See, another king rose, which knew not Joseph. The same death subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. So you know the story, and the Holy Ghost just repeated that in that chapter and so on, that you know. So 400 years and 30 years have gone by. So God came on the scene to fulfill his promise and spoke to Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they were, as they were leaving, however, Pharaoh's heart was hardened according to the word of God. He went after them with his soldiers, intending to recapture them and make them his slaves again. The children of Israel stood on the shore of the Red Sea, terrified, for the Egyptians were behind them, and the Red Sea was before them. On one side of them was the wilderness, and on the other side were mountains. Seems that there's no way out, right? Where are we going to go? We can't go forward. Here is the Red Sea. Pharaoh's horses are behind us and racing towards us. They see a mighty cloud of horses coming back, and the horses of Pharaoh racing high cloud. Here is wilderness, and here is mountain. There's no way that, as far as mountain is concerned. So anyway, the children of Israel blame Moses. If you're not careful, Satan will tempt. So they blame Moses, for taking them out of Egypt. They forgot all their 400 years of suffering. They forgot all of those things and so on. They need to blame Moses for taking them out of they were crying to God, no, help us, and God heard that cry and sent a deliverer to them, right? And now they are now blaming Moses, for taking them out of Egypt. An act that was to characterize every difficulty that arose throughout their journey. At one time, we have no water to drink. They blame Moses for everything. Moses was on the couch, could blame us anyway. Anyway, so Genesis 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people. I think I want to put there Exodus, I believe it is. Anyway, Exodus 14, 13. I'm sorry about that. Anyway. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still. Even though they look, there's no way out, right? But here is the voice of God. He had the dust there, the Lord, right? And he says the same thing to you today. Or in the future, wherever you find yourself, and there seems to be no way out, God is saying, I said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more for ever, he says, So when he solves a problem for you, it is solved, amen. Whatever the Lord does shall be forever. Nothing can be taken away from it, amen. He is the Almighty God, and so on, and the Lord shall fight for you, you see, and ye shall hold your peace. In one time, he told Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours, right? The battle is the Lord. Praise the Lord. All throughout the Bible, and so on, and that, So, verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore cry thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Don't get stuck somewhere, amen. Keep on praising the Lord, amen. When things seem to be standing, keep on praising God and magnifying. Be active, amen. Praise the Lord. Don't let him stop you. Keep on praising God. You have heard your prayer, and so on, that, So anyway, so let them go forward. But lift thou off thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So when Moses did so, you know what happened? The children of Israel went on dry ground through the midst of the sea, as was foretold. The detail of what really happened was told us when they crossed over. Miriam, the sister of Moses, and the women, we need to bring the tambourine. We need to praise the Lord and so forth for a great deliverance. And then we see in one verse in Exodus 15, verse 8, what actually took place. How they are able to pass through. 15, 8 of Exodus. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floor stood upright as a heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Congealed means it was frozen. God just frozen them. It's treated them and it's frozen them. Can you imagine? No miracle, miracle, miracle at all. And the enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My Lord shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You think? Thou this blow, now God begins to walk. And so, thou this blow with a wind. This is cover them. The sank has led in the mighty water. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When there seemed to be no way at all, God made a way for them. So was it that the Most High God made a way for the children of Israel, and they were delivered when there seemed to be no way at all and so forth. And on the unspiritual, the children of Israel and so forth, Moses had a commission. God told him to do what he was doing. That's why he had confidence, right? And but they didn't. Anyway, God made a way according to his promise. Now, so we see right there, when there seems to be no way at all, as far as humanly is possible, God said, I will make a way. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, miracle of divine protection. We just go through the Bible here. There are many, many of them in the Bible. We just pick one on here, one over there. The Lord is here this morning. Miracle of divine protection, and even of a mass healing of an army. The king of Syria once sent his vast army against Israel, completely surrounding them. On the morning, Elisha's servant looked through the window and was tuned to see the Syrian forces camp around Dothan. Dothan was where Elisha the prophet lived. That was the city of Elisha the prophet. Dothan is what is called as well. 2 Kings 6:15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? I mean, you know, a whole Syrian army to capture just one lone prophet of God, you know. Can you imagine that? You know, the servant now, he said, what how shall we do, master? And so on. Anyway, Elisha was calm in the knowledge of God's divine protection. See, he was calm in the knowledge of God's divine protection. Give us an example. But he wanted his servant to have this same kind of peace too, you know. 2 Kings 6:16 says, and he answered, fear not. The same thing that Moses told the people, right? Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So are you and I, see? So then Elisha prayed in verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, and a chariot of fire ran about Elisha. So Elisha's servant, as far as we know, viewed the whole situation with natural eyes. Danger surrounded them and his master. Death, he probably thought, was imminent. He was certain they were going to die really. But Elisha looked out the window with spiritual eyes and confidence in the protection of Jehovah Garan. Garan, right? How you call it? Jehovah Garan means the Lord our defense. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
One of his covenant names, Jehovah Garan. The Lord our defense. See? He's our defense. And after the servant's eyes were opened, so that he could see the army of angels that God had sent to protect them, the enemy was smitten with blindness. And in their helplessness, they were willing to follow Elisha wherever he might lead them. Elisha led the trackless army, Syrian army. This same Syria today were causing trouble over there, you know. So he led this trackless army, Syrian army, to Samaria. And where he pretended to the king of Israel right there. So we see many miracles here in this particular scenario, including divine protection. Can you imagine? Anyway, Elisha has been causing them a lot of trouble. No matter what move they make in Syria, God will show it to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. At one time, the king of Syria said, look, I must have a spy among you here that is telling you what is happening here. They tell him, no, there is one man called Elisha, the son of Shaphat. You know, right there, a prophet and so on, you know, that is telling, you know, that is seeing all that you are doing here. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You see? So, and, you know, so we see that the spiritual world is more real than the material world. Bible says the unseen creates the seen. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord Jesus. The spiritual world is far more rich and far more real than the material world. So that's what we are showing here and so on. So we see so many, many miracles here. Protection for the prophet. Protection for the city of Israel and for the country of Israel, you know, and all of these things and so on and so on. Miracles in just that one thing and so on. And a miracle of mass healing. Because later on in 2 Kings 6:20, and it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. So we see that there are many miracles took place, protected Elisha and his, you know, as his servant, and also there is a miraculous procession, I mean, to the country of Israel, and they were blinded supernaturally, and now there is a mass healing, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mass healing and so on, that, you know. Storms do come to us, though we will much prefer that God hold them at bay. Yeah, we want to do that and so on. But sometimes, God calms the storm, he does at some time. And sometimes, he let the storm rage and calm his children. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, many times, he calmed so many times. At other times, you know, he let his tongue to rage around you and me, and then he calm you and some of that, you know. It is in this time that our faith is increased, and we receive new and awe-inspiring awareness of God and his matchless love. You know, God's mercy and shield are more than enough to keep us safe in the stormiest of situations, no matter how stormy your situation may be. God's, you know, mercy and care and shield is more than enough to keep you safe. Just remember this. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27. The eternal God is their refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, the eternal God is your refuge. Don't forget that one. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And the Almighty God shall thrust out the enemy before thee. God never abandons his children. Not one time. Not forsake us. Never even did it. We may not be able to see him at work, but that does not mean that he is not there. Amen?
Amen.
Many, many times, the Lord will say, I'm with you always. I'll be not afraid. I'm with you always. That's what he says almost throughout the Bible and so on. Our faith is not based on what is visible in the natural, but on what is promised in the supernatural. That's how our faith should be. So, every day, today, be encouraged today to stand in faith. No matter what happens, no matter what storm is raging around you, the Lord is giving you confidence. Tell you to fear not, I am with you, amen? David said, I will be with him in trouble, right? And I will deliver him. And I will show him my salvation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, and you know, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. He will make a way when there seems to be no way, amen? He promises that what I read that here at the beginning of the service, many scriptures indicate there is always angelic protection around the believer. Psalm 34 verse 7 says this, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Psalm 91 verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hebrews 12:22 just showed that the angel of the Lord has always around his people, whether it's in the Old Testament or New Testament, God has never changed that pattern. Hebrews 12:22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Mount Zion, and to an innumerable company of angels. That is the church age, the church of the living God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Whether we see them or not, it makes no difference. Amen. Praise, they're all around us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, Apostle Paul has said in his persecution by the Jews, preaching the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, you know what? I appeal to Caesar. Just mean that God making a way, right? I appeal to Caesar. Where they say, unto Caesar you appeal, to Caesar you will go. That you send him to Rome. Acts 27 verse 1. And when it was determined that now he want to join a ship going to Italy, right? That we should sail into Italy. They deliver Paul and certain other prisoners. He became a prisoner. unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Verse 5 says, now, when much time was spent, so they were going to Rome and so forth, burning this ship and everything like that, and so on and that, you know. So now, all kind of things happen in the way, storm come upon the way. Verse 9 says, and when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, the sailing becomes dangerous, because the fast was now already passed. Paul admonished them in verse 10 and said unto them, Sirs, God showed to him what's going to happen on this journey. I perceive that this voyage will be with a hurt and much damage, not only of the lady and the ship, but also of our lives. God revealed to him that are jeopardy on this journey and so on. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of the and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So we see as they were journeying to Rome and so on, all kind of storm arose. Verse 14 says, but not long after, they arose against it a contentious wind. You see, he already told them by God revealed to him that this journey will be with much hurt and so on and damage. So he told them, and it's going to come to pass in verse 14. But not long after this arose against it a contentious wind called the Euroclydon. He said in verse 18, just like the Lord showed to him and so on. And we be exceedingly tossed with a tempest. So just as God showed to him, a great storm came out upon the sea as they were journeying to Rome and so on and that, you know. Verse 20 says this. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Seems that no more way, right? I mean, even Paul said that all hope was taken away that they might be saved. So tempestuous, you know, a great tempest at all hope that you'd be saved was taken away from them. But God is a way maker, you know. Praise the Lord. The Lord is going to make a way as we go through this story right now. But 21 says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, we should have hearkened unto me, said when he warned them, and not to have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss, he said. And verse 22, now watch, in the midst of the storm, right? God should go, in the midst of the storm, God is a waymaker. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Praise God. Right in the midst of the storm, God needs to exhort these people and so on. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. Talking of God making a way, well, there is no way. He himself has said that all hope was lost, that they should be saved at all, you know. But I believe he was praying and seeking the Lord, and it was revealed to him. Now he could speak by divine revelation, and in any storm you may be, You can take this example, you listen to the Lord, to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life, he said. Now, he says, for there stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that be with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be as even it was told me. Amen. Today, we have many promises you can apply to your storm, and you can say, it shall be as God has told me. I will be with him in trouble, he said in the book of the Psalms and so on, that you know. God will make a way, praise the Lord. Long story short, we know that there are 276 people on that boat, on that ship, and so on. And the Lord make a way. In fact, verse 44. And it came to pass that they all escaped, you know, the boat crash that the prophecy said, you know, and so on. And, you know, so, but the Bible said that, that they escaped all safe to land. God made a way and they escaped, a way of escape and so on. Thus, God made a way out of a situation where all hope that they should be saved was taken away from them, but did not make a way. Now, should you ever be in such a situation, remember, the Lord will make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But we, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Praise the Lord. He will make a way of escape, no matter what the storm looks like. Now, let's even see more in the Bible, how God made a way in so many situations in the Bible for his people and so forth. There was a widow and her son in the Bible, ready to die after they ate their last meal because of the famine, because Israel had forsaken Jehovah to Baalism, you know. And God sent him a prophet by the name of Elijah and so forth. And they had to call the heaven to become like brass. He proclaimed a drought for 3.5 years. He said there shall be no dew nor rain. He said, see, according to my word, he was so close to God, he could call God what his word, amen. Praise the Lord. Like people say, according to my gospel, amen. That's how we should be close to God. Praise the Lord. They have said that they have become one with God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, according to my word, and the Lord told him as well. Not that he did not rain and so forth. Anyway, in that drought time, there was his widow and so on, that you know. And the Lord always protecting Elijah and so on. So anyway, 1 Kings 17:8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, meaning Elijah, saying, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman, was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in her hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks now, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She was in a situation that death is the only thing that they can see, you know. The situation was like that, you know. So there's no more way, as far as she's concerned, no way. Just cook the last meal that he may die, you know, of starvation, you know, and her son and so on. No way, as far as she's concerned. And Elijah said unto her, see? Fear not. In all these cases, I keep here, fear not. Moses said by the Red Sea, fear not. Elisha said to the servant, fear not. In every situation, amen. Praise the Lord. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Everywhere, that is the word of the Lord. And so, as you know, so where you are, don't fear. And so, as you know, say fear not. Anyway, for thus said the Lord, verse 14, for thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So the Lord made a way for her, and Bible 15 says, and she went, she believed the word of the Lord, and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did it many days. The Bible says in verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil, fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. So we see that God made a way for the widow and her son, so they didn't die of starvation at all. When she thinks there's no more way, she already gave up. Just could the last and die. But here come the Lord and so forth, that, you know. So blessed be the name of the Lord. He is the way maker. No matter what the condition, we just speak here and there in the Bible. We just spend the whole day doing this and talk about the Bible and so on. Now, there's another widow in the Bible, you know, and she was one of the wives of the son of the prophet, I believe it is. Her husband passed away untimely and so on. There was much debt left to her. So much so that, our creditors, to collect the debt and so on, that, you know, she couldn't pay them. There was no way out and so on, that, you know. And they want to take her two sons away from her, you know, because she couldn't pay all the debt. To her, there was no way at all, you know. Distracted with the knowledge that the creditor was about to take her sons away, she learned that there was Elisha was in town. You see? Elijah was in town, meaning Elisha was in town, so the prophet and so on. So, torn with agony and grief, somehow she felt that this coming of this man to town was in answer to her prayer. She just felt like that, you know. Sometimes God will just imprint us into your mind, right? You know, something like that, you know. It is possible that maybe she has heard about the miracle I just told you before, about Elijah, right? And the other widow, right? Maybe she has had a testimony before. And now, Elisha, that poured water on the hand of Elijah, the successor, is now in town, have been doing many miracles too, and so on. So she has faith. So let me run to him and see what he can do for me, you know. So she hurried to him. As one who stood nearer to the Lord than she, and cried to him in 2 Kings 4:4-1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And to her that no more way out. Then Elisha responded in verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Then the Spirit of God showed him how to solve the problem. He didn't advise her, let me go and talk to your creditor. Maybe they will just give you some time and so. He didn't say that, you know, what people would have said today, let me go and talk to your creditor and help you. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? So he wasted no effort at all in trying to do that. tell me, what hast thou in the house? No, the man of God asked the woman. And she said, the handmaid had not anything in the house save a pot of oil. The creditors, of course, are pleased, are taking everything she has. And so, you know, how they garnish things, yeah? Praise the Lord. Garnishment has taken place, and so they're taking everything she has. So a pot of oil was left, and so on, and that, you know. So she said, the handmaid has nothing in the house save a pot of oil. So they have taken everything that she had except that. So what happened from there? Verse 3. Then it said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few, it said. And when thou hast come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And verse 5 says, so she sent from him and shut the door upon her and upon her son, as the man of God commanded, who brought the vessels to her, and and she poured it, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel no more. And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and leave thou and thy children of the rest. A situation that was just desperate. When you take her sons away, they have garnished everything she had. There seems to be no way out. But here come the Lord God Almighty by the way of the prophet of God, and made a way where there was no way. Praise the Lord Jesus. Always a way maker, no matter what the situation is, God is there with you, and to make a way for you and so on, any place, anytime. Now, Hezekiah, let me get another one here really quickly. Hezekiah was sick unto death. 2 Kings 20, verse 1. In those days, was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set the house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the midst, that the word of the Lord, came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord again, you see, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee, and the third day thou shalt go into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. So we see that there, Hezekiah was sick unto death. No more way out. Even have just said the Lord to them that he's not going to live, right? And there are all kinds of prophecies in the Bible. There are conditional prophecies. There are unconditional prophecies, as well as that, But somehow this man walked close to God. So he got to know that, look, let me just call upon the name of the Lord. Even though I've had that prophecy, let me call upon the name of the Lord. And Bible says he wept. So there was no way. And as far as he's concerned and so on, but he was a man of God. He called upon the name of the Lord and so on. His condition was, was so terrible. Of course, death was the only thing that came to him. The normal course of events. So his disease was fatal. God wasn't just going to kill him. He was just sick. And in the normal course of events, that is the only thing that happened. God just loved him and calling to make his house in order to warn him that he will die anyway because of this. So he called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord had mercy on him. So anyway, but Hezekiah had faith and changed the picture completely, In desperate prayer, he sought God that the supernatural might intervene in his behalf and that he might live. And that's what happened really, Now the prophet said that he would die, right? That he had only time to prepare for death. Nevertheless, Hezekiah, instead of dying, he was healed. Call upon the Lord. As faith wept up before the Lord and so on. So God is a God of miracles. Our God is a God of miracles. He is therefore the God of both time and eternity. He is the God of both time and eternity. One time, there was one friend of the Lord Jesus Christ by the name of Lazarus was dead. You know, on the fourth day, the Lord called him out of that eternity back to his life again. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, Mary and Martha. Oh, Lord, he that has been here, our brother has not died. You know, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, but the Lord said, whenever they left, you don't have to be fearful, you know. You know, I am the resurrection and the life and so on and that, you know. And he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, and so on shall never die. And he that die, I bring him back again and so on. Believe that this, say, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyway, he called him back out of eternity, Lazarus lived again and so on and that, you know. So Ezekiel called upon the name of the Lord, despite that it was said of a prophet of God, that he should die. So anyway, so we learned a lesson there. So it was revealed to him that if he prayed, that he will live. So there was no way, even death was pronounced by a man of God, but this man, he called upon the name of the Lord. He went before the Lord, so the Lord make a way for Ezekiel to live again. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So no matter what. Now, let me just begin to wrap it up by some scriptures here, to close here, very short. You know that God is a way maker. We can go throughout the Bible, and we'll be here till tomorrow, talking about the impossible being made possible. Now, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You know, trust all these things, we'll be fearing. Fear not. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, like it encamped against, Elisha, the host of the Syrian army encamped against him, right? You see? So David was saying here, in verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, I don't care how many troubles encamp around you or me, you see? My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Verse 13. I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So much trouble around him and so forth. But by the grace of God, was able to believe, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then begin to tell us, he said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, you see? Just like Apostle Paul told those people. Be of good cheer, amen? In the midst of the storm, right? Praise the Lord. See? Be of good cheer, And, I believe, you see? Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David is a man that passes what he does, right? What he says in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. He's hearing you. He has heard your prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. He will bring it to pass. Say, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. I heard my cry. He has heard your cry too. He brought me up out of an horrible pit. Doesn't matter what the situation looks like around you. God will bring you out. He will make a way. Praise the Lord. Are you prophecy? Out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my going. That's what he's doing for you right now, and any time in the future, wherever you are in this kind of a storm and so forth. And he has put a new song in my mouth, weeping may endure for a night. He says, but joy cometh in the morning. Another psalm, praise the Lord. See, and he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that trusted in the Lord. That maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn into lies. The Father of lies will tell you a billion lies. Amen. Praise the Lord. You hear the word of the Lord. wait upon the Lord, trust in the Lord. Bless that man that trusted in the Lord. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, he's a way maker out of any kind of trouble. Very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Everywhere I've read this morning, I've seen God say, dismiss fear. Amen? Every single one I've read this day, from Moses to whosoever that I've read this morning, that place is always there, you know. So therefore, we will not fear. Though the heart be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, see? Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Hear that? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of us. She shall not be moved. God shall help her and that right early. Amen? Praise the Lord. God will not be late. Amen? He will be right on time. You can be counting time as if it is late. No. He will be right on time. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, God is in the midst of us. Bible says the Lord is in your life. No, the Christ in all the hope of glory and with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, again, I want to close with these two scriptures that I read at the beginning. Isaiah 43, verse 19, to close this morning. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it has been for. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the last scripture. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that may be to bear it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Being that loving Father, Bible says he cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our cares upon him because he cares for us. Father, we thank you. Now I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I believe the David said in Psalm 55, I believe, cast your burden upon him and he will sustain you. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our way maker, one time Lord God Almighty. In Matthew 14, I believe it is, after a great crusade that took place and so forth, the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000, he sent the disciples upon the boat to go to the other side. He himself went alone to the mountain alone to go and pray. And it was night time, and a great storm, like the type that Paul encountered on the way to Rome, came upon the disciples, and they thought that was it, and so forth. In that storm, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He is mindful of them, walking upon the sea, and coming to rescue them. So we can go to our discussion. This morning, Lord, whatever storm we are in this morning, we receive the word of the Lord. The Lord will make a way of escape. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He put a new song in our mouth. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his name shall be glorified. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We glorify thy name, Lord. Make a room, for praising the Lord. Worshiping him, thanking him in the midst of the storm. One time, O Lord God, Paul and Silas didn't know where things will go in Acts 16. Rather than being pitiful of themselves, or being sorry for themselves, Bible said they sang, they were in prison. Bible said they sang, praises to God. They prayed and they sang praise at midnight. And all the prisoners had them. Right in the midst of that storm right there, Bible said while they were doing that, the Almighty God let a great earthquake shook the prisoner, break everybody's chains, even the other prisoners, the chains were fed out of them. Just like in the days of Paul, 276 souls were saved. In that storm, all the prisoners have their chains broken. The blessing of one thing blessed others around them. The Lord made a way. One time, O Lord, going in Acts 12, Lord, brother James had been killed by that wicked king. And the disciples, they thought that this apostle, they were invisible. They thought so and so on. So they weren't really as part in their prayer until they killed James and so on. And Peter was next. And was in prison waiting for the Easter to pass. You know, so that he also might be murdered. But the brethren began to pray and call upon the name of the Lord. He was told in the midst of that storm, Peter waiting to be murdered. He slept soundly that night. It took the angel to smite him to wake him up. Anyway, the Lord came on the scene that storm for Peter. The Bible says the angel of the Lord come and the prisoners were adopted by a jar of their own and they exchanged fellow of him and they went free out of that place. Innumerable are testimonies in the Bible, cloud of witnesses in the Bible that the word of the Lord is true. So we thank you this morning, a very present help in trouble. Thank you because you love us, Lord. And no matter what comes to us, Lord, we will go out of it of cast. The Lord will make a way. To you, Father, be the glory, honor, dominion, and power. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. Amen. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.